بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقد روي في القرآن قالت عبارة عن الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: ما من شيء أثقل في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من حسن الخلق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected friends and brothers in Islam, I recite before you a very short verse of the Quran al-Kareem in one hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the verse, Allah Ta'ala addresses the beloved Nabi Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him that وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Ta'ala is giving testimony, Allah is giving a certificate to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verily you are on a very exalted and noble character. The hadith which I recited, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this effect, that there is nothing that will bear heavily on the scale of justice for a mu'min on the day of Qiyamah than good character. When good character will be weighed on the scale of justice on the day of Qiyamah, it will be put onto the pen of good deeds. It will bear very, very heavy in favor of the person that possesses a good character. One of the most important integral components of good character is what we know as adab, respect. To show respect, to show honor, consideration, admiration for other people and even for lifeless objects, bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fundamental teaching of Islam. That we show respect in every dimension, every sphere of our life for the bounties given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to show respect first and foremost, top of the list, respect to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the symbols established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of the planet. Thereafter, also showing respect, honor, admiration, dignity for the beloved Rasul, our Nabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, showing respect, admiration, consideration for our immediate families, our parents, our children, our spouses, our relatives. And also showing respect, admiration, consideration for even our general Muslim brethren, so much so that even respect for non-Muslims, respect for our neighbors, respect even for lifeless objects like the bounties given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as food, drink, clothing, shelter. This is the teaching of Islam, that we respect after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his attributes and his symbols, we show respect even for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So important, integral is this component of adab and respect. In the short time allocated, obviously, we cannot cover all these dimensions, but just a few glimpses of how Islam requires us to show respect so that we can use that as a way forward, an example, a sample to determine that how crucial, essential it is to show respect even for the creation of Allah, be it animals, be it even lifeless objects, bounty given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will learn as we go along how important this is. As I mentioned, right at the top of the list, is being respectful towards our Creator, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Zat, His Being, and His attributes, His Sifat. Not to ever utter anything disrespectful with regard to the being of Allah ta'ala, with regard to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as making such disparaging remarks, disrespectful remarks, with regard to Allah and His attributes, could obviously lead to a person losing his iman. At the same time, there are many symbols that Allah has established on the face of this earth that also we ought to respect. For example, the Kalam of Allah. This is the month of Ramadan, wherein, alhamdulillah, most of us are engaged in our spare time making tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. But are we according and giving enough respect to the Quran al-Kareem, the Kalam of Allah, as we ought to do? Unfortunately, today many of us carry the Quran like we carry a normal magazine, or we are carrying a novel on the side, sometimes right next to our buttock, unfortunately. Whereas the Quran is the speech of Allah, the word of Allah, it ought to be carried with the right hand, respectfully put against the bosom, against the chest, occasionally kiss the Quran al-Kareem. This is after all the Kalam of Allah. You ought to show respect for His Kalam. Hazrat Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to sit down to make tilawat of the Quran, he would sit down for a little while and reflect. Then this is no ordinary book that I am opening. This is the word of Allah, the speech of Allah. He would become so overawed in the presence of the Quran. He would repeat time and again, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi. And at times he would become so overawed that he would lose consciousness. He would pass out, just overawed by the presence of the Quran al-Kareem. And then when he would regain consciousness, regain his composure, make wudu again, then he would sit down respectfully to recite the Quran al-Kareem. This is the honor and respect that the Quran al-Kareem deserves of us. Hazrat Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, a great wali of Allah, a teacher of Hadith, they taught for many years in Darul Ulum Deoband. He taught in the Darul Ulum in Babel as well. Allah Ta'ala blessed him in later life when he went to Medina Munawwara, migrated to Medina, and it is in Jannatul Baqi where his remains lie, where he is buried. The authorities of the Saudi government, because hundreds upon thousands of people, millions of people visit the Haramain year in and year out, thousands of people pass away, many people desire that a death should take place in Medina, that they be buried in Medina Munawwara. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those fortunate ones, inshallah. So because of the great numbers of bodies that are married in Jannatul Baqi, obviously the authorities are concerned that sooner or later they would run out of space. So there is a system put in place that every 5 years or so,
all the graves are dug up, and when they noticed that in the grave the remains of the deceased have disintegrated, dissolved into the soil, then they would use that qabr, that grave, to bury a newly deceased person. This is a system there. Mullah Badr Ali Sarrahmatullah is also buried there. After his demise, after the number of years required by the authorities, 5 or more years, they opened up his qabr to see if they can bury a newly deceased person in that grave. When they opened his qabr, to their astonishment, they noticed that his remains were totally intact. The body was fresh, as if it was just buried an hour or 2 ago. So they covered the grave up again, that we cannot bury another person in that qabr. The deceased remains are still intact. After another 5 or so years, again the qabr was opened, again the body was found to be fresh, intact. A third and fourth time, eventually, the authorities gave up to mark their grave. They put a special type of stone to indicate that this qabr must not be disturbed any longer. So naturally, people are curious to know what is the reason for this great bounty and blessing that Allah has preserved his body. So someone went up to his son, Mawlana Aftab Alam, and asked him, they tell us, did you notice some special action of your beloved father that could have resulted in a great bounty, that the soil cannot devour his body? So the son thought for a little while, and then he gave the reply, that I think that this was because of the respect that he had for the Kalam of Allah, for the Quran al-Kareem. So much respect, that leave aside respect when holding the Quran. If he was lying down on his bed with his feet outstretched, and some of the family children, young children, who had committed the Quran to memory, if they were to pass by at the foot of the bed, he would pull his feet inward. He could not tolerate even pointing his feet towards the chest and the bosom of the child that was carrying the Quran within his heart. Such was his love for the Quran and Kareem. So perhaps this is the reason why Allah Ta'ala has given him the bounty, preserved his remains in the Qabr. The respect he had for the Quran and Kareem. A hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people aver that the chain of narration is but weak, but because it pertains to fadail, to virtues, it is permissible to quote such a hadith. So in one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, that إِذَا مَاتَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ, that when a Hamil al-Qur'an passes away, Hamil al-Qur'an means a person who has memorized the Qur'an and put that Qur'an into practice. Beyond memorization is not sufficient. A person should become a personification, embodiment of the teaching of the Qur'an. This is Hamil al-Qur'an. So the hadith goes on to say that إِذَا مَاتَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَلَّا تَأْكُلِ لَحْمَهُ فَقَالَتِ الْأَرْضِ يَا رَبْ كَيْفَ أَأْكُلُ لَحْمَهُ وَكَلَامُكَ فِي جَوْفِي أو كما قال الإسرائيل. that in a practicing hafiz of the Quran, leave the world, he's buried. Allah Ta'ala gives the command to the soil of the qabr that do not devour his body. The ground replies to Allah that, O Rabb, how can I devour his body when your kalam exists within his bosom? So even a practicing hafiz of the Quran, will inshallah be blessed with a bounty that his remains remain intact in the qabr. This is due to respect for the kalam of Allah. Having committed the Quran to memory, putting that into practice, propagating it to others, that is the true tawbi of Islam. That is the true hamil of Quran. That is the true hafiz that carries the message of the Quran to the entire world. Other symbols of Allah, the Ka'batullah. Even the direction of the Qibla ought to be shown respect. Which is why in the hadith we read that Nabi Kareem Ta'ala commanded that when you attend to a call of nature, when you leave your tower, do not face the front to the Qibla, nor the posterior to the Qibla. If the toilet is built in such a way that the fan is in the direction of the Qibla, then a person, like it stands on other renovations, this is very important, alter the position of their fan that it should not face the Qibla. This is respect for the Ka'batullah, for the Qibla. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يستقبل القبلة إن البول والغائب. When leaving oneself, the Prophet is forbidden that you face in the direction of the Qibla or back in the direction of the Qibla. When the sister is exposed while we are leaving ourselves. Today we are unperturbed. We have no respect for the Qibla too. We will split in the direction of the Qibla. There is one hadith mentioned to this effect. And if a person splits in the direction of the Qibla, the same split will be gathered and thrown onto his face on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Maulana Shaykh al-Islam Thalwi rahmatullahi and so much respect for the Qibla. In old age, when he used to use a walking stick, when he used to put the stick down onto the floor, he would ensure that the part of the walking stick that touches the ground, that becomes soil, should not face the direction of the Qibla. It should rather face my body and let the part that holds my hand, let that face the Qibla. Such was the respect for the Qibla. So these symbols of Allah ought to be respected. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا لِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. The person shows respect for the symbols of Allah, that is a sign that he has taqwa in his heart. The masjid, هذا مسجد بيت الله. Every masjid is the house of Allah. Allah needs no house to live in. When we call it out, Allah, because in that house, in the masjid, we worship only Allah. Exclusive worship to our Creator. In that time, we call it out to Allah. Show respect for the house of Allah. One of the signs of Qiyamah mentioned that the time will come when you hear loud voices in the masjid, people engaging in idle banter, gossip, worldly talk in the house of Allah. That we are seeing today. People treat the masjid like an ordinary house, engaging in worldly talk. On one occasion, Nabi Tom noticed the Sahaba Radhiyallahu Anhum engaged in talk in the masjid. Voices were being raised. Nabi Tom rebuked them that Iyakum Muhashyat al-Aswaq. They protect the masjid from the activities of the marketplace. In the marketplaces, voices are raised. People speak in raised tones, not in the house of Allah. The house of Allah deserves respect, it deserves sanctity. Talks of deen take place, we listen respectfully, silently. The Quran is recited. It is not the place for worldly talk. So much so that on one occasion, when the Sahabi Hazrat Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu ta'ala, he joined the Salah al-Jamaat behind Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone happened to sneeze in Salah. And the sneezing person said, Alhamdulillah. Although one should not say Alhamdulillah in Namaz when sneezing, but in the first sneezing, his Salah will not break because he is merely praising Allah. But the Sunnah that we are taught, when you listen to a sneezing person saying Alhamdulillah, then Tashmeetul Atif, to reply with the word, Yarhamukallah, they should be confined out of Salah, not in Salah. Because it is a form of conversation. A person is giving dua to a sneezing person. That may Allah show mercy upon you. So this is mutual conversation. That will break the Salah. Hazrat Muawiyah bin Hakam Sulami radiallahu ta'ala had newly entered Islam. He was not aware of this rule that a person is not allowed to speak in Namaz. So when he heard the sneezing person say, Alhamdulillah, he replied, Yarhamukallah. The Musalli next to him kept his side to indicate that remain silent. You are not allowed to say this word in Salah. When Namaz was completed, Nabi Muhammad had heard those words, Yarhamukallah. He asked, who said this word? Hazrat Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu ta'ala confessed. Nabi Muhammad brought him close and educated him with great love and compassion. He himself said, مَا رَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I never saw a teacher more compassionate, more kind than Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Wallahi, ma dharmani, wala shatamani, without Katharani. Nabi Tom explained to me beautifully. He neither beat me up, nor did he physically, nor did he verbally abuse me, nor did he rebuke me, but very kindly he explained that this is the house of Allah, especially in Namaz. You are communicating with Allah. Namaz is the ibadat in which the Quran is recited, tasbih is read. There is no scope for future conversation. So number 52, worldly talk should not take place. Today, Allah Ta'ala forgive us so much disrespect for the masjid. With the advent of this mobile phone, smartphone, we ought to respect the masjid when entering the masjid. Shut the phone down, or at least put it in silent mode. And even worse, as Muslims, we have musical ringtones on this phone. The phone goes off in the house of Allah, music being played in the masjid. Even worse, Allah Ta'ala guide us. Not only the youth, even adults. Sometimes the back of the masjid in the house of Allah, going onto the internet, watching cricket scores, football scores, putting on YouTube videos in the house of Allah. Is this not against the sanctity of the masjid? Definitely. On one occasion, Haji Bhai Fadia, Ahmadullah Ali, may Allah fill his cover of noor, the amount of fikr he made for his country, to bring deen into every household. He used to travel overseas also, for the purpose of propagating deen. On one occasion, on the flight, a Christian pastor happened to be seated next to him. He could make out from the type of apparel. Then there is a pastor. And the pastor also noticed the Islamic garb upon Haji Bhai Fadia Rahmatullah. So the pastor thought, he is also a man of God. Let me discuss religious issues with him. So Haji Bhai Fadia Rahmatullah used to say, if this pastor brought one important fact to my notice, that you Muslims claim that no bells are in your masajid, no ringing of bells, no organs and pianos like we have in our churches, no music in your masajid, but slowly but surely we are encroaching upon your homes and your place of worship. This was prior to the age of mobile phones. The pastor was referring to those old pendulum clocks in the old days. Many of us had them in our homes. Unfortunately, masjid committees also used to put these clocks, wall clocks, in the masjid, that every hour you could hear that song, ding dong, ding dong. like the sound of church bells. So he says, by bringing this cloth into your home and massage it, you said you will keep your masjid free of music. We have brought church organs into your masjid. So imagine the situation today, how the enemies of Islam are laughing behind our backs. That was musical ringtone. We have brought music into the house of Allah. YouTube videos in the masjid. We have brought movies into the house of Allah. How displeased Allah Ta'ala will be. Selfies being taken in front of the Ka'batullah, in front of the Rauza Mubarak. People taking selfies, posing for this photograph. A hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّا شَدَّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَامُ That the people who will be afflicted with the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah are those who take pictures of animate objects without any necessity. Our ideas are put, here there is a necessity. But where there is no necessity, total no doubt, avoid it at all costs. So with musical ringtones, videos being seen in a masjid, totally against the sanctity of the masjid. A Bedouin from the outskirts of Medina Munawwara came into the masjid. After wudu, he went to Surah Al Tahiyyat to the masjid. The reason I was seated in one corner, addressing the Sahaba of the Rabbi's mind. The Bedouin, after his Surah Al Tahiyyat, he made dua audibly. He made dua in that session. Then Allahumma arhamni wa arham Muhammada wa la tarham makana ahada. On the Bedouin, obviously uneducated, he thought Allah Ta'ala's mercy is limited, restricted, and made dua. Allah will show mercy upon me and upon your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't show mercy upon anyone else. Obviously uneducated, ignorant. Nabi Sallam called him, educated him. Then لَقَدْ تَحَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا Something that was very encompassing, very expansive, the mercy of Allah, you have restricted it, you have limited it. Why don't you make dua for the entire ummah? Then Allah will show mercy on the entire ummah. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِيَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ In the Qur'an, Allah said, my mercy is sufficient for everything. So Nabi Sallam educated him. Then he turned attention again to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'een. This Bedouin, being uneducated, he had the urge to pass water. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madinah Nabawi did not have beautiful carpets like they have in our masajid today. The Madinah Nabawi was a simple structure on the floor was sand, stone, pebbles, like the outside of the masjid. So that Bedouin had a need to pass water. Due to his limited comprehension, knowledge, he thought to himself, the same sand, stone, that at the outside of the masjid is in the masjid. So what is the difference? I urinate in a corner, outside, in the sand, in the stone. So let me do it here. So he started urinating in the masjid, in the sand, the stone that was spread out there. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu got up, rushed to stop him. Nabi Tom forbade them and do not stop. Running after him would obviously cause more harm. In that way he is soiling one corner of the masjid. You will run to catch him, he will run. He will soil more parts of the masjid. So Nabi Tom allowed him to relieve himself. Then he called him. And explain things. That there is a world of difference between sand and stone which is the outside of the masjid and what is in the masjid. This is the house of Allah. This place needs to be kept pure, very lovingly. Nabi Tom explained to him. There is respect for the house of Allah. We go ahead. Islam has taught us respect for our parents. Today's environment is such, there is a huge generation gap. That has been deliberately created by us between the parents and children. No communication. What's the result? The value that parents ought to instill into their children of showing respect to parents, obedience to parents, that is lost today. Among the kinds of qiyamah, it comes. That a time will come when people will give preference to their friends over their parents. Preference to their wives over their parents. And we are seeing that zamana today. We are seeing that era. Among the kinds of qiyamah that comes, that a young man will be walking along the street with his elderly father, needing help to move also. And he walks on the street with his friends are sitting. And the friends begin to laugh at this elderly man, whose mobility has been impaired. And this young son, helping his father, they will ask him, says, who is this man? When in today's language, they will say, who is that old puppy? Among the signs of Qiyamah, this son will feel even embarrassed to say that this is my father. He will say that some old man just tagging along with me. I'm assisting. You will feel too shy to say that this old man is my father. This is how much respect people will have for their parents in later times. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied, and we are seeing those latter times today. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إن من أكبر الكبائر أن يلعن الرجل والديه. It's one of the gravest of major sins is that a person will curse his own parents, will swear at them. When the Sahaba was made heard this, they were taken aback by surprise. They could not fathom that a person can curse his own parents. They asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that كَيْفَ يَلْعَنُ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ. How can a person curse his own parents who are the means of his existence in this world? Can a child be so uncouth, so disrespectful? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that he had taken it away. When a person curses his parents indirectly, in what way? يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلْ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ وَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ فَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ. That he swears at another person's father or mother, and that person in turn swears at his parents. So by swearing at that person's parents, he has become indirectly the means of his own parents being sworn at. Imagine the Sahabi that posed this question. If he had seen this error, he would turn in his grave. The children not only indirectly swear the parents, they directly swear the parents. Her verbal abuse at them. This is a zamana that we are seeing. In Mustad Ahmad, a narration mentioned a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Al-Kama radiallahu anhu. Young Sahabi, Allah has only decreed short life for him. In his young age, he was in the throes of death, in Sakarat, about to leave the world. He is battling to recite the Kalima, but he cannot articulate the Kalima. Yet he was a person who was punctual with his Salat and Saum, Tahajjud Guzar. Unable to recite the Kalima. Nabi Ta'ala informs, Allah Ta'ala put it into the heart of the Nabi, that perhaps the reason for this is that they have displeased his parents. Nabi Ta'ala made inquiry, are his parents alive? People said to Nabi Ta'ala, his father is late. His mother is living, but the mother is displeased with him. And that is causing the barrier that he cannot recite the Kalima. Nabi Sallam sent a message to the mother that should I come to you or will you come and see me? She replied that, O Nabi of Allah, why should you take the taklif, inconvenient? I will come to you. The mother comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Tom asks her, why are you displeased with your son? She replied, that O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in domestic matters, he gives preference to his wife over me. He favors his wife over his mother. This is why I am displeased. And I will never forgive. Nabi Tom says to Bilal of Allah Talan, get together some firewood. Light the fire. The mother becomes worried. That's why I'm giving instructions to light the fire. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, so throw your disobedient son into that fire. That the fire of this world is far more lighter, lesser than the fire of Jahannam. And after all, a mother is a mother. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the mother, that not a single namaz, roza, or ibadat of your son will be accepted until you forgive him. A mother cannot see her son well. She then relents. She says to the people present, O Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I make you all witness that I have forgiven. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the bedside of Al-Qamar radiallahu ta'ala. In the time that now easily the kalima is on his lips and he parts glory. What the kalima? After the burial, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, that remember, no action, no good deed will be accepted if a person's parents are displeased with him. In one hadith of Tabrani, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that thalathatun la yanfa'u ma'ahunna amalun. There are three actions, three sins, because of which a person's good deed will not be of benefit to him in the afterlife. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam elaborated, what are the three sins? The first one, ash-shirku billah, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one, uqooqul walidain, disobedience of the parents, displeasing the parents. And the third one, al-firar min al-zahfi, to run like a coward from the battlefield of jihad. So disobedience of the parents hampers even the acceptance of our righteous deeds. As Ghabi radiallahu ta'ala, tashkeel was made for jihad. He gave his name. On such occasions were optional. People could offer their names for jihad. But this young man, his parents were weak and feeble. They needed him to look after them. So he came to ask the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this situation, my name has been given for jihad. My parents need me. Nabi Kareem said, فَجَاهِدْ فِيهِمَا. Let earn your reward of jihad by serving your parents. This is even more important for you now. Even though jihad is such a lofty ibadah. Another sahabi, he's already with the army, with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's worried. He explains to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I came voluntarily, gave my name. My parents were not too happy. They pleaded with me not to go. But I left them crying at home. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahabi, return home. Just as you left them crying, make them laugh now. Make them happy. Serve them. So important, respect of the parents. Obedience of the parents. An incident I read in the present Kitab. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes these things happen to open our eyes. A very unfortunate, wretched young husband, in every matter, giving preference to his wife over the mother. Unfortunately, even though Islam teaches us a woman should treat a mother-in-law like her own mother. Serve. Treat her as a second mother. She cannot replace her biological mother. But show this love and affection like you show for your mother. Serve her. Let her not please your husband-in-law. But this wretched woman was jealous of her mother-in-law. She said to the husband, prove your love for me by going out and killing your mother. The wretched soul goes, drunken with the love of his wife, oblivious of the rights of the parents. The wife tells him, prove that you have killed your mother. After you kill her, crowd out her heart and bring it to me. And he actually does that. Put the heart into a box, going through the jungle, forest, back toward his home, returning from his mother's home. He stumbles, he falls. So either, literally, Allah Ta'ala made the voice come out from that box in which the heart was, or perhaps in a function, maybe he has a voice. When he stumbles, the mother's voice called out, oh my dear son, you will not hurt yourself. Even in that condition, Alan Arwah, mother is worried about her son. Like the incident we heard, where that mother could not tolerate Al-Qamar of your son being set alight. This is the love of a mother. Ibn al-Khawshab, rahmatullah, related an incident recorded by Allama Munzir, rahmatullah. That one Allah Wana, who Allah Ta'ala blessed, with the bounty of Kashful Qubur, Allah Ta'ala would make things apparent of the qabr to him. He then passed a certain qabristan of the locality after Akar. Nearby he saw a shack where an elderly woman was busy knitting something with a wool. And all of a sudden he noticed that one qabr split. A body emerges from that qabr, human body, but with the head of a donkey. And it brays three times, like the brain of a donkey. Then it disappears into the qabr. He goes into the local town, makes inquiries. People tell him that other people, Allah wala, men of Allah, have also witnessed this scene. And then they gave the reason that that old lady living near the qabristan in the shack, that was the mother of this person. This young man was addicted to liquor, a drunkard. The mother used to tell him, then, oh my son, when will you desist? When will you stop drinking? He used to reply, then, oh mother, are you going to continue braying like a donkey about this? Are you going to keep harping upon this? So Allah Ta'ala gave him azab from the time of the qabr. Head like a donkey, brain like a donkey. Another man whose wife went away from home because of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law problems. The husband went to plead for the wife to come back. This wretched woman also put a condition. She said, I will come back if you kill your mother. So he agreed, brought his wife back. His occupation was to cut wood from the forest, sell it in the marketplace with firewood. So one day, very innocently, he said to his mother, mother, today I have a big order. You assist me. If anyone takes in this work from his mother, like a laborer, like a servant. But the mother agreed, I will assist you. I will carry the wood on my head. bring it into the marketplace for you. But the plot that he had hatched, that in the loneliness of the jungle, of the forest, I will have my axe with me in the chopper, I will behead my mother.
Allah.
So he takes her there. When she put the nose on her head, because she is holding the nose, the throat is exposed, the son thinks this is the opportune moment to behead her with the axe. But as he's about to strike, the ground opens up and catches all of his legs. He's rooted to the spot. The mother realizes she throws down the wood and she escapes with her life. The son is screaming, pleading to people to help him. Passes by, trying to pull him out. They cannot pull him out. Eventually the ground swallows him up. This is the consequence of showing this respect to his mother. Prepared to kill his mother for the sake of his wife. How low can you stoop? There is a doctor, Dr. Noor Muhammad, who used to attend to the patients in the ward in one of the Indian hospitals. He once related that there was a patient that died in the ward. He never saw such a terrible death. For 3 days he was in Sakrat, his kidneys failed, entire body became yellow, eyes popped out, and he used to scream, screams of agony, like someone choking him. The day when he died, he screamed so loud, the other patients became scared and ran away from the ward. Eventually he died all alone. None of his family at his bedside. Dr. Noor Ahmed says, I made inquiries, and the family told me that this man had 3 sons, but they were not prepared to see him. Reason: what goes around comes around. History repeats itself. He had an aged mother, the same patient that died. He never saw to the needs of his mother. He found her to be a burden. Eventually dumped her in an old age home. If there is a home for the old and frail people, if there is some necessity, at least go and visit them, look to their needs. But he never saw to her needs. She eventually died in the old age home, all alone, single alone, with not a family member at her bedside. Allah gave him the same death, 3 sons, but no one at his bedside. The hadith of Rasulullah Kareem from there, that kullu dhunub yu'akhiruhu Allah ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah illa uququl walidain fa'inna yu'ajjilu li-sahibihi fi al-hayat qabla al-mamat aw kama qala al-islam. That most sins, Allah Ta'ala defers the punishment for the Akhirah. But there is one sin that Allah Ta'ala gives the punishment in the very world before the person dies. And that is a sin of disobedience to parents, disrespect to parents, being rude to parents. Allah Ta'ala shows the person the punishment in the very world. Hazrat Maulana Arshad Madani, Dhamma Barakatuhum, on one occasion explained the incident of a shopkeeper in Deoband. That shopkeeper related the incident of a neighboring shopkeeper, that this man used to beat up his father in full view of the public. He would go into the shop under some pretext. In front of everyone, he should beat the father out, throw him into the dirty water and alley, humiliate him. Eventually, the father passed away. This man had no son, he had 4 daughters. The shopkeeper next door related to Maulana Shaitan Madani Dam Barakatum. There are help from the ulama. There is a treatment the person gives to his father. His son will meet out the same treatment to him. So I used to wonder that this man has no sons, he's only got four daughters. But he says, one day Allah Ta'ala showed me, one of the daughters came to his shop, clad for the burqa, but she pulled her father out of the shop, beat him up, and threw him to the dirty water run. So the daughter Allah Ta'ala meted out the same punishment. So Islam teaches us respect to parents as well. The hadith tells us, these are rab fi ridal walidain. Wa sakhatu rab fi sakhatil walidain. Aw kama qala al-Rasul. So the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. And the displeasure of Allah lies in the displeasure of the parents. Inna al-jannata tahta ummahati al-aqdam. تحت أقدام الأمهات أو كما قال الإسلام جنة lies in the feet of the mother. Nabi told the parents, the father is either your daughter جنة or your daughter جهنم. Time is up. I'm just terminate one thing that we are lacking also. Respect to food. In the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala blesses us with many delicacies. And let us not overcook, overeat. Unfortunately, beggars come to the door, you turn them away, and opt to throw away the food in the bin, in the trash. When you go for Umrah and Hajj, Al-Ayyadu Billah, in the hotel, in the 5 days of Hajj, so much leftover food, put into the trash, into the dirt bin. Is that how much respect we have for food? Nabi Sallam taught us respect for food. Umar bin Abu Salma, radiallahu sallam, little child, son of Nabi Sallam, wife Umm Salma radiallahu anha, from a previous marriage. Nabi Sallam used to teach him respect for food, etiquette. He used to make him sit down and tell him, Ya Buniya, Sammi Allah, وَقُلْ بِأَمِينِكَ وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Respect for food is that say the name of Allah before you eat. Use your right hand when eating. Not like today we have adopted the fashion of the West, eating with the left hand. And eat what is closest to you first. This is respect for food. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah on one occasion, when he took ill, someone brought him some milk in a container. He drank the little he could drink. Few drops were left behind in the container. And due to fatigue, tiredness, he fell asleep. When he woke up, the utensil he had placed at the side of his bed. He looked into it to see if there was still some milk to drink. It was empty. He asked one of the khuddam, khadim, he said, Hazrat, you drank what you needed to drink, whatever was left, you threw down the drink. And the Tanya master became very, very upset, extremely angry. And I could not drink it, you could have given it to some beggar, given it to the cat to drink. Why did he have to throw it down the drain? But this is the respect we show to food today. Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafiqa Rahmatullah Ali, before he migrated to Pakistan in Deoband, one of his senior asatira, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Azraf Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi said, I went to visit him for a meal time. He invited me to sit down. I also partook of the meal. After the meal was over, I decided to assist my ustad to shake out the tablecloth, the dastarkhan. I rolled it up. I'm about to go outside to shake it out. And my ustad, Maulana Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, called me and said, They don't even know how to shake out a dasturkhan, a tablecloth. We teach a free concept, I begin to scratch my head. That is there an art to even shaking out a tablecloth? So he said, the house mouse stands, the iskabi goes fine there. Is this also some special technique? Ustad said, yes, there is a special way. Let me show you. We open up the dasturkhan again, and there are pieces of meat lying. Maghat Afra Hussain Sabah Hussain put the meat in one corner. The bones he put in another corner of the dasturkhan. There were pieces of roti uneaten, put that in one corner, and then the crumbs in another corner. Then he said to Mufti Shafi Sahib, follow me. He went outside to the street, and the pieces of meat, he put it in one place on the street where the cats of the neighborhood gathered. They ate the meat. The bones, he put in another corner where the dogs of the neighborhood come and eat the bones. The pieces of roti, he put it onto a wall saying that birds come and they eat the roti. And the crumbs, he left near an ant hill where the ants will eat this crumbs. So not prepared to waste even a single morsel. This is true adab. This is respect for food. When the Tanya Rahmatullah became ill because of his inability to sit on the floor, the food would be brought on his bed. He would sit on the bed in such a way normally today. If someone had to bring breakfast for us in bed, we were left by the head side against the cushion, and the food was in front of us at the foot side of the bed. At the time Rav Chaim thought, he sat down. When the food came, he put the food at the pillow side of the bed, at the head side. Food was placed there. And himself turned around at the foot side of the bed. He said, this is respect for food. Put the food at the head side, not at the foot side. When the Tanu Rakhtar is to give money to someone, or accept the gift of money from someone, he is to give and take with the right hand. Because money is a means for all these. Means of buying food, show respect for it. Use the right hand, not the left hand. When he found clothing, they needed to go to the laundry, he would tell the assistant, put Islamic literature below that. Do not put the ship with the laundry. There is no Islamic literature below that. Do not put the dirty clothing higher than Islamic literature. Such respect for even Islamic literature. Hazrat Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi was born in a walking library. Allah blessed him with a photographic memory. If he read a book from cover to cover once, he would remember that book, every word verbatim, for at least 15 years. He did not have to open that book again. When you study the books, Islamic literature, he has marginal notes written in a very small font and to take up every space. When you study the marginal notes, he would not make that kitab subordinate to him, he would make himself subordinate to the kitab. Instead of turning the kitab upside down, he would go on the other side to read the marginal notes that had been written upside down. He would make himself, so to say, upside down in order to read the literature. That is it for even Islamic literature. This is what Islam teaches us. In the short time, we cannot discuss other types of adab. Many other factors could be covered as well. The time is up also. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala make us among those good Muslims that show our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, fellow human beings, parents, our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, fellow human beings, even animals, even good stuff. Allah give us topic of showing respect to all this, and Allah Ta'ala make us among those believing Muslims, that inshallah will be fortunate to lead a wholesome life of towing the line of Sharia, of following the dictates and commands of Allah, implementing every command in accordance with the Sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the month in which dua is accepted. You have to make dua for ourselves, for our children, our parents, our relatives, our neighbors, for the entire Muslim Ummah, even for Hidayat, for the entire humanity. Allah can give them Hidayat to come on the path of Deen. Allah give us the tawfiq of leading a proper life.